This happened in 1959, and it was probably around the middle of 59 when he was in New York. At some point, I seem to feel that it was the last quarter of 59 that he called me up, and he told me that he was that he had been in the library, and he found a book about a master who lives in India. And he found his book completely by accident because he wasn't looking for it. He was looking for a book to help him in his acting career. So he sees the title of this book, Listen Humanity, on the shelf, and he takes the book off because he thinks that this title, whoever wrote this book, must have something that he wants humanity to listen to. It turned out that he hated, you see, he hated books that were thick. He didn't like that. But he decided that he would take this book off anyhow. And he began to go through it a little bit, and he noticed certain things apparently that really interested him. Because he did take that book out of the library, and that was unusual for my brother to do a thing like that. Anyhow, he read it. He called me. He said, Irwin, I just read a book about a master who lives in India, and his name is Meher Baba, and I feel this is someone that you should know about. Yes. So I said, I was very taken aback by that. I didn't know what he was even talking about.
You were interested in spiritual
things? Oh, yes. I was interested in God. I mean, I actually was being guided inwardly. Mm-hmm. And so my inner guidance, which I knew was from God, and talking to God, and the directions and all that happened then that would come to me. So I felt that my inner direction was, very sufficient. It was the right thing. I knew it was the right thing. So I didn't see anything about having to follow a master I never thought about that. I didn't even know what a master was, much less think about it, other than just hearing the term occasionally. So we had that conversation, and I more or less forgot about it for a while. I remember after about 3 months from the time he called me, I got a tremendous intuition to go to New York. And the intuition or the impulse, it was a very strong directive force. I knew that was the next thing, that this was inwardly I was being directed that way. That if I went to New York, something would happen where I'd gain a communication with God. And that I knew without a doubt. So I didn't connect this with Mayor Bava, though. I just knew that this is where I was being directed. And then, so I told my father, because I was living with him in the house then, that I planned to go to New York. And he asked me why. And of course, he had no understanding or desire for spiritual things, and he was very much a materialistic person, a self-made man, you might say. So I knew I had to tell him the truth, you know, just tell him. How could I get around it? So I said, well, Dad, I plan to go to New York because I know if I go to New York, I'll have gain a communication with God. Well, when I told him that, he said, why do these things always have to happen to me? He couldn't understand that, and I didn't even expect him to understand it because I didn't see how anybody could, you know, if they weren't having the same experience. So, anyhow, I told him, and then I left afterwards. Now, I got to New York, and I was staying at a hotel that my brother had stayed in before. He was now back in Miami. He had come back to Miami since. And I hadn't read the book. I hadn't even been thinking about that book. So for 4 days, I was doing a certain meditation, talking to God in a way that always brought very good results to me in the past. But this time, nothing was happening. And I was waiting to know what God was going to do or wanted to do, because I had come to New York only for that purpose. There was absolutely no other reason. And 4 days went by, and nothing occurred. And then I decided, well, I'm going to come downstairs, and I'll see what is going to be. Well, there was a church next door, and in this church, I happened to meet this priest who said to me, I told him why I was there. You know, we struck up a conversation. And even though I'm Jewish, I don't know what I ended up in the church there next door. But anyhow, I'm talking to him, and he was a really nice man. He said that you would like very much to read this book called Autobiography of the Yogi, which was about Yogananda. And Yogananda was a young fellow that came to a master. And I'm thinking to myself, what do I want to read about a little yogi for, when here I am being directed by God himself? But nothing was happening, you see. So I thought, well, nothing to lose anyhow. I'll go read this book as long as this man. And then I was wondering, here's a priest, he's telling, what am I doing in a Catholic church? And there's a priest, and he's telling me about a yogi. The whole thing was such a inconsistency about everything, and you know, what do I want to be reading about a yogi for at all? So he anyhow went and I got the book, and I started reading it, and it really was very good. It told about a lot of divine experiences that the master of Yogananda had given to him, and it explained to some extent anyhow the function of a master. Especially in as much as that he could grant experiences of the sort that he was giving to this this boy. Well, in reading that book, I remembered what my brother said about Meher Baba, that he was a master. And I was really very intrigued reading the book, because I felt this is no dry spirituality what this Yogananda was experiencing. And I wondered if Meher Baba was at least as high as the master, as his master. You see, I don't know why I was thinking of how high he should be, but I didn't want to follow anybody that was lesser, or approach anybody, I should say, that was lesser. Then I couldn't wait then to read the book of Baba, and I knew that was my next step. Like, everything was just taking me there now. So I read the book, Listen Humanity. And in reading it, I was really impressed by Baba's love. That's the thing, his bowing down to the lepers and washing their feet and bringing them together, and his love for so many people that would come to him and embracing them. And he seemed to be very egoless and selfless in his love. He wasn't looking for himself. And that really impressed me as true spiritual being, as a true spiritual being. But then I also read that part about him saying he was the highest of the high. And when he said that, I said, great, that's who I want to meet. The one who's the highest of the high, because I was thinking I wanted somebody high. And now Baba said he was the highest of the high, that he was the ancient one, that he was God the beyond and God in human form. Boy, I knew then. I was on fire at that point. I really had to get to see Baba. And that's really where it all began. I really knew now that my next step was to see Meher Baba. And to... you see, there was another thing, too. It wasn't just seeing him. I wasn't going to see him exactly as a physical being. Of course, I was going into his physical presence. But I was going there because I wanted to know him as he really is. Mm-hmm. To see him in his infinite formless state and to realize him as God. And one of the things, again, that impressed me about him is what he had said about that. That being the avatar, he could give liberation to anyone he liked whenever he wanted or to make anyone realize God. And I never heard anybody say that, because I read a lot of the different yogis and others, and no one really came out and said they could give liberation. In fact, I remembered one thing that he said, that even if the worst scoundrel stood before me and I had the wish, I could make him realize God in less time than the flash of a second. And that statement, I felt only God could make that statement. Mm-hmm. Who else could make a statement like that? And I knew I had to meet him. And that was when it really began.
So did you actually write to him before going that I'm coming?
Well, after I read the book Listen, Humanity, the librarian came over with some magazines, The Awakener, and asked me if I wanted to look at them, and I said no, that I had already gotten the gist and meaning of everything I needed to know from this book. But he put everything down on the table anyhow and just didn't even listen to what I said and just went away. So I picked one of them up and I leafed through it, and I came to the back page, and there was a Fred Nella Winterfeld's address there as one of the centers. There was a list of the different Baba centers, and that one was in New York. So I took the number down and I called him that evening, and I asked him where Meher Baba was, because I wanted to go and see him. So I don't suppose they got too many calls like that at that time. So they asked me to come. And they told me they were having a meeting that evening, and why don't I just come? And then they would give me whatever information they wanted. They wanted to meet me.
This was still 1959.
I would say that this is now. Yes, I believe it was. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was. Because I went to see Baba in the middle of 1960. But anyhow, I believe that was the late part of 59, the very late part of 59. So I went to the meeting, and it was there that I had an incredible experience, actually. The minute that I stepped over the threshold of their apartment, the doorway, all of a sudden, I began to feel such an experience of well-being. But it was so intense. It was, all I could say, it was such an energy. It was so super. Having that experience, it was comparable that even if the whole world were to suddenly go into panic, if you have that sense of, that intense super sense of security or well-being or whatever you call it, you would be just absolutely calm. I mean, it just wouldn't affect your inner state at all, in spite of how everything on the outside might be turning around upside down, actually. It wouldn't affect the inner state at all, and that's how it was. Then I began to feel Baba's presence becoming stronger and stronger and stronger. And it became so strong at some point in that meeting that I thought if Baba's presence gets any stronger, I'll actually physically see him appear there. That's how intense it was. That he would actually physically be there. I would see him physically. But it was at that point that it remained for some time. Didn't get stronger than that. And I was under the impression that everybody was having that experience, you see. I didn't realize it, that was just me. And it lasted for a few hours after that meeting. And I did feel that Baba was giving me an assurance of who he is. Some sort of a conviction of sorts that he was all that I was hearing about. And then it was right after that that I thought I must get to Baba, I must see him, and I sent my first letter to Baba. And that letter was along the lines of where I said that I wanted to, that I was planning to make a trip to see you. I said, "Dear Baba, I'm planning to make a trip to see you. And that I'm only writing because I spoke to some of your disciples here and they said that I should be sure of your location and also of your availability at the time. And I'm writing to find out if there's anything that you care to tell me because I plan to leave within 2 weeks. And if you send me a letter and it comes before then I would receive it, otherwise I would probably be on my way." So I wasn't exactly asking anything. I was definitely knowing that that's where I belonged. That was the next thing. And I did receive a letter from Baba within 2 weeks. Baba said, he said that you may come to see me for 1 hour only. And wherever I will be, that's where I would be brought to him, wherever he would be then, and who to get in touch with when I arrived in Bombay. So I was planning to work my way across on a ship at the time, because I had no money at all to go anywhere. And I was working in a movie theater, and they were showing a movie that had to do with the end of the world, actually. And that's the only movie they showed the whole time I was there. So maybe it was the end of my old world, the beginning of a new, but it was very symbolic. I should have worked in that theater. But it was no place to make any money to make a trip to India. And I couldn't get aboard a ship because none of them would have me. There was no way that I was able to get accepted. Well, I'd say about 6 months went by. In the course of that time, there were certain communications that went back and forth between myself and Baba. In the meantime, I should say that after I read that book, I did call my brother Edward, and I asked him if he wanted to. I told him that I read the book Listen Humanity and that I planned to go to see Baba in India. And he was very happy about that. He thought, "Oh, that was very good." He was very happy. And he asked, and then I asked him, "Do you want to go too?" So he said, "Yes, he would like that." So then we both knew that we both wanted to go, without any means of getting there. So we had gotten that far. Well, as I said, 6 months later, I received a letter, a family letter, written by Mani's sister, Baba's sister Mani, and sent to the Winterfelts in New York, who distributed it to the Western Baba Lover family. And it said in there that Baba would soon be entering seclusion, during which time he would not be receiving visitors, nor would he be receiving correspondence. And except an emergency, a telegram could be sent. And when I got that, I got desperate, because I felt that if he is planning to enter seclusion, and I still haven't been able to get there, and now it'll be another 6 months once he starts that seclusion, before anyone can see him, that was too much. To think like that was really too much for me. I couldn't I couldn't stand that kind of having to be incapacitated, literally, in any way of getting there. So I was very unhappy and feeling very desperate and not knowing what to do. And in that desperation, I remember an idea came to me. Actually, it was an idea. I guess I should have done that in the first place. I sent another letter to Baba. This time, I said, "Dear Baba, I want very much to have the benefit of your love, your direction, and your guidance. But the only thing preventing me from coming to see you is that I don't have all the money to make this trip. And I can't see where money should stand in the way of such an ideal. But I know if it is your will, I'll be able to come and see you." So I really left it to him. And in that, I took him as God, because I couldn't do anything to get there. I thought only God could get me there now. I've tried everything. Baba sent back a reply. Within 2 weeks, in a very short time, I got this reply. And Baba said, "Don't worry. Circumstances will adjust themselves. Love, Meher Baba." And that's all he said. That was all that was in the whole letter. Just that one line. "Don't worry, circumstances will adjust themselves." So I thought, that's great. You know, I wonder what's going to happen. As it occurred, in one day, I think within a 2 week period, in one day, everything came together. And I was able to have the amount to make this trip. That's what it was. And I did.
So.
And then I left. Mm-hmm. In one single day. So I got to Baba. You want to hear that part now? Mm-hmm. If I'm repeating myself, anything that you have somewhere else, you should just tell me. I believe it was the 1st of June, or I have it written down. You might even have those books there. They have all the dates and
sometime around May 30th is what I have.
Yeah, yeah.
Not sure when.
I was there for 2 weeks prior to the time of Baba entering seclusion.
Well, like I said, he went to that orphanage on the 9th of June. Mm-hmm. And you said you were there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had arrived before
that. The next day, that was the 10th.
Hmm? And what?
Maybe you left the next day.
No, I left the day that he entered seclusion.
Oh, so that same day?
Yeah.
And it may have been the 14th. It might have been the 1st of June you arrived.
Yeah, it must have been.
Okay, so then Ralph comes in.
Well, then,
the
first thing that happened, the car drove up to where Baba was, to his house. When I arrived in India, in Bombay, I tried reaching Nariman Dadachanji, who I was originally instructed to contact. And I don't think he was home for a while. Anyhow, I finally did reach him, and then he came and picked me up at the airport. And then I think Homa, if I'm not mistaken, drove me to Pune. So we pulled into where Baba's house, Guru Prasad, in Pune. And I saw Baba standing in the doorway, and he was motioning.
The doorway of the veranda, in the hall.
He was standing, well, there was a veranda, and then there was rooms on the side, and he was standing in the doorway of one of those rooms. So he was waving, you know, for me to, motioning, that is, for me to come to him, but I didn't know what he was meaning, and somebody in the car says, "Bob is calling you." So I... So then I got out of the car, and I went right over to where Baba was, and he embraced me, and he kissed me on both cheeks, and then he had me come in and sit near him.
He was just standing up.
Yeah, and he brought me in. And And I had brought this huge garland, which Mayorji thought that I should get for Baba. And I thought at the time, why do I want to get a garland? I'll be Baba's garland. I don't shouldn't have to get him one. I'll just be one. But anyhow, I got it anyhow because Mayorji thought that it would be a good idea. And I put it around Baba. It was this huge garland. Put it around Baba. And Baba immediately took it off. And he grabbed me up. And that's when he gave me a big hug and kiss and all. And then, and I felt like a long lost son that had one day come home. That was how I felt. It was very nice. And I felt very good there. And Baba asked me how I had come. And I said, Baba, I was able to come because it was your will. And then he motioned I should stand up. And he wanted me to repeat this to everybody in the room. There was 15 or 20 of his devotees and people under his direction there. So I did. I repeated. I said, I'm here because it is Baba's will. And I knew how true that was. Somebody in the back raised their hand. And Baba pointed to that person, and then this man said, but how did you earn the money to come? How did you have the money? And I thought, you know, this man really missed the point, because the point was that what I just said, it was Baba's wish. Anyhow, Baba just made a sweeping gesture with his hand, and he was saying that that is not important. The way he said is how he came. See? So it reinforced what I had been thinking. There was a lot of things.
Yeah, I see, you know, like an article on the awakening that's sort of more descriptive of what happened there. All that I sort of have.
Was that this part in the awakening?
No. Oh. That's what I need. Yeah. Like what you remember of what was said to you between Bob. Really what,
that's right.
What I need, those things that everyone knows that first 10, 15, 14 days were
found. Uh-huh.
Like, there was very briefly in there, Bob asked about Edward, and he told you to write. And,
did I mention anything about how he would play with the twins there?
Yeah,
At one time, Baba asked me, if I give you knowledge, what would you do? So I said, Baba, when I have knowledge, I'll know what to do. And then at another time, he said, you were sent to me by another master. And it wasn't like he was, you know, just telling me things. It was almost as if he was looking back, and it's like he looked back into the history of the soul's mind and heart. And you sort of see things. I felt Baba was looking into my past, ages of past. And he noticed something, or he saw something, and happened to mention it. But there was no comment, and I wasn't really all that curious about it anyhow.
Well, yeah, things like that.
Yeah.
Or explain one.
Then another time, Baba was in the room, and he got up. And did I tell the part about what happened when I was alone with Bob in the room? Well, anyhow, there was a whole lot of people sitting in the room, and Bob had motioned for everyone to get up and to leave the room. So I was getting up, and I was in front of Bob, and Bob motioned for me to sit down, to remain seated. So I did, and everyone else left. So now I was all alone with Baba, and only Erich was there to translate the gestures. So Baba started off by saying, do you believe that I am the avatar? And I said, yes. Actually, I nodded yes, and Baba said, speak up. You know, he motioned, speak up. So I said, yes. Then he said, are you ready to obey? And I said, yes. Then he said, what if I ask you to walk about the streets naked? Would you do that? So I said, yes. Then he said, and what if I asked you to eat food that you didn't like? Would you eat? Would you eat such food? So I said, yes. And then he said, and what if I were to ask you to give your head for me? Are you ready for that as well? Would you do this? Give your head for me too? Well, by now I wasn't even thinking anymore. I said yes, because I made up my mind, I'm going to say yes. I'm not going to mess up anything here. And I felt that I would do these things if it was possible, humanly possible, for me to do it when I was faced with that. So then Baba, from what I remember, he motioned that to open the doors and that everybody should come back in. There was this, at some point, there was Kakabad in the room too. See, he came in. And Kakabad was so emaciated, he was skin and bones. He was really just a thin person. And he wore these little rimless spectacles, and he looked like he hadn't eaten for a year. And I was feeling sorry for him, and I was thinking, only Baba could. You know, his good fortune was that he was with Baba. I mean, that was his blessing here in this life. So he was sitting near Baba, and I was sitting mostly with the children, even though I was about 22 at the time. Well, Baba turned to Kakabad, and he said, Kakabad, I want you to tell Irwin what your experience is when after I dismiss everyone. You both sit outside on the bench. And Baba looked at me, and he was motioning that we should sit down on the bench afterwards. And Kakabad, he said, will tell you what his experiences are. It happened when I was feeling so sorry for him, you see. So I wasn't really interested in hearing Kakabad's experiences, because here I am with God himself. If I'm interested in anyone's experience, it would be the God-man's experience, not somebody that's under him. But, of course, Baba said that. I didn't say anything. There was nothing like that. And I knew Kakabad, from what I knew of him, he didn't care to talk about his experiences either. So yeah, now we were both out on the bench, and there's Kakabad. He doesn't care to tell his experience. I don't care to hear it. And we both got to do it. He's got to tell it, and I got to hear it. And he starts off, and he's telling me how, even in a very dark room, he can see such brilliant light. There's such brilliant light that comes out of him that he could even, if he wanted to, he could even read a newspaper by it. It would be so much. And he said that he can see the planets and the solar system and the worlds all within his own being. And that sometimes he sees that light, which is more brilliant than any sun's could ever be. And he says in that light he sees Baba's face. Baba's face comes out of that light. And he told different things of what his experience, and he said that even Baba, he could see Baba physically, even when Baba was in some other place. Or he said it was easier to feel Baba's presence and to see God in the impersonal state, which was easier than seeing him in his personal form. So these things he told me about. Well, naturally I listened, and it was interesting because in 1971, when I came to India after Baba dropped his body, I remember I wanted to film Kakabad because I was filming all the Mandali and met so many people in so many locations. And I wanted to get his story of what happened when he was with Baba. So I asked him, and he was very reluctant. He didn't want to convey it. He was, you know, very reserved, and he resisted telling anything. He said he didn't want to say anything. And I felt it would be so good if he would, because after all, he spent so much time with Bob, and everybody someday would like to know. So I was trying to think of what could I say to him that would convince him to do it. And then I remembered something. So I said, talk about it. Remember when we were sitting out on the bench and Baba had ordered you to tell me your experiences and I had to listen to them? He said, yes, he remembered that. I said, well, I want to hear your experiences again. And since Baba told you to tell me, I think that if you wanted to still obey him, you should tell me, because I want to film it this time. He didn't expect that. And based on that, he went ahead and he started to tell his experiences again. Well, then I remember Baba turned to Francis Brabazon, he was there, and said to Francis, Francis, if Irwin has any questions to ask, you should answer them. And then he looked at me and he says, Irwin, if you have any questions, you just ask Francis and Francis will answer. And at the time I was thinking, what do I want to ask Francis questions for? If I have a question, I'll ask it to Mayor Bob himself, as here's God. What will I ask his disciple? So again, of course, you know, I didn't say anything. But that was in my thoughts. And then Baba said, Francis, you go out later and you and Irwin will sit down. And you tell Irwin, that is Irwin, he told me, you ask Francis anything that you want, and Francis will answer your questions. So I did, you know, I had to think up of the question. I didn't know what to ask him. And he was another one that didn't care to answer questions, and I wasn't to ask anything. So I asked him something, and then he answered it, and that was that. You see, that was that.
1971.
Now, no, this time 1975 rolls by. But the thing was, you see, twice before I was planning to make a trip to Australia to film the disciples, and each time I always contacted Francis, because since he was with Baba for 10 years, I felt he was one of the key people that should be recorded. Mm-hmm. And Francis kept saying that he did not wish to be filmed and that he was busy doing other things and he was writing or he didn't want to be filmed. He didn't want to tell anything. He was satisfied with what he was doing in Baba's service. And I was thinking, that's really too bad, because he has something that he could say that probably no one else could, especially being one of the few from Australia, or the only one actually that lived with Baba that was from Australia. Now, 1975 rolls by, and I thought, I have to somehow film him, but I don't know what to say to him. Then all of a sudden, again, I remember this thing. And I write him a letter, and in the letter I said, Dear Francis, I'm coming to Avatar's Abode to film you, and I know in the past you didn't want to be filmed, but if you will remember back, and here's my ace in the hole, you might say. I was going to play the last card I had. I said, if you remember back, Baba had said that if I had any questions to ask, I should ask you. And all these years, I haven't had any questions. But now, at last, I have a whole lot of questions that I want to ask you because I'm doing this film work and it requires me to ask you all these questions. And I would like very much for you to answer them. And if you feel that Bob has ordered to you to answer answer my questions to this dance, then when I come, I will have a lot of questions for you to answer. There was no time even to get a reply from him. Now, mind you, just prior to sending that letter, I had been in touch with him. and I mentioned my coming and that I wanted to film him. And he sent me a cable saying that he will be unavailable and he's busy doing other things and all like that. So then that's after that I sent the letter and I was on my way and I felt, well, even if he doesn't want to do it, there's others that have met Baba and it, you know, it would be too bad to miss him, but it would be still worthwhile to film everybody else. So I was off. And I went throughout Melbourne and filmed a lot of people there. And I filmed people in Sydney and in Brisbane. And then I went to Avatar's Abode. And it happened that the day I arrived in Avatar's Abode was Christmas Day. And I didn't know what Francis was going to do, whether he was going to pull a gun out and shoot me or what, you know, because I was not taking no for an answer. And but he came out and he greeted us very warmly, very lovingly, because there was about three of us on that film journey. And he did take us around and everywhere, and he was filmed and all like that. And so now we have that in the that film footage of him doing all that. It was really wonderful experience, him doing that. No, not yet. These films haven't been really worked on at all.
I mean, you get all the human side of the character.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done any transcriptions?
No transcriptions. The thing we're working on now is just the film of Mayor Baba himself. The films, the old films of Mayor Baba himself, we feel are more important.
So I want to
yeah.
Do you ever have any contact with England or Peter Hamilton?
Yes. I have had in the past, but not now.
This guy Martin Cook, do you know him?
I've been in touch with him. Yeah, a little. I know him a little, just by some cables and.
Because I'm not sure he still has much to do there with Pete, but at one point he was.
Oh yes, I heard that he was doing.
He was, came here and then did all this
mm-hmm.
for the trust films.
Yeah.
So when I went to England, I gave him a box of outtakes.
Yeah. Oh.
Of films, a bomb.
Oh, that was
still
good.
Exactly what you do. You see some
with him. Yeah. What has he done with that?
That's exactly what I want to know. Because at that time, he said, okay, well, you know, first of all, they're all snippets. Put them all together. Reinsert it back into the original. Because most of it was from Marathon Memories.
Yeah.
Now, that's exactly what has he done with it. Who knows? God knows.
Well, you could ask. You could write him a letter and ask him if it's in their archives or just where it's been put, whether it's been put together or not, because you would like to know what its present state is, you know, and also where it is.
Yes. Yeah.
That was original footage, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think you should definitely.
Those are kind of home
movies. Yeah.
You know what
those are? Oh, yeah, yeah.
But you're working with other films mostly.
We're working with all the original, with whatever original footage there is.
I thought all the original films were three counts.
You know, from what I understood, Sufism sent him master negatives. I don't think he has original footage outside of whatever the trust may have given him or somebody else gave him.
Well, anyway, if I ever get that back.
The only thing you can do is write.
I will.
Yeah. I think that probably what you'll have to do is go there. I don't think that you'll be able to do much by mail, but I could be wrong.
Yes.
You know, but.
Have you ever had any contact
with him? I have written to him a couple of times, but I don't get a reply.
That's it.
And the only thing that, if you want to contact him, the way you have to do it is through cables. It must sound very urgent, and it must say urgent. First word, urgent. You see, I mean, if you really want to get through, so it doesn't just pass off like some letter or something, amongst a million other letters.
Anyway, 1960. Is there any other memories of things that happened with Palestine?
Oh, in 1960? Sure, there was a lot. And then one day, you see, the reason I relate this other story is because these are things that Baba did in setting up things which were apparently not to happen for years later, 10 to 15 years later. This story about Cockabot answering, you know, telling me his experiences that it is, and then Francis having to answer my